Welcome to the Adaptive Executive Podcast, where we meet with senior executives and discuss how to keep yourself and your organization adaptive and your employees engaged. My name is Greg Ballard, founder and owner of 5C Consultant, and I am your host. If you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, you can apply on our website at 5c.consulting. Look for the word podcast. For now, let's dive into the show. All right. Hello and welcome to Tara Kinney, the CEO of Atomic Revenue. Thank you for joining us on the Adaptive Executive. Greg Ballard here as your host. And this is our very, very first episode. We are really delighted to have you here, Tara. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So fantastic. So Tara, introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us a little bit about who you are and the role you're in. And let's dive into a conversation here.
Sure. So my name is Tara Kinney. I'm the CEO of Atomic Revenue. We are a revenue operations consulting company that focuses on empowering people through process and data so that companies can grow more profitably. We end up solving a number of different challenges that organizations have, which is really exciting. But over the years, data has become one of those big challenges. So we actually spun off a dashboard company, and I'm president of the board of that company, as well as a national speaker on data and accountability metrics. So I'm really glad to be here and happy to answer any questions you might have for me, Greg.
Fantastic, Tara. Thank you. So you are smack dab in the data, you know, side of things. You guys focus on how to generate revenue. I know I've spoken with some other folks on your team. You guys have a phenomenal process at really looking at how to extract revenue out of a business and by looking at the operations piece. So excited to have you here today. And the question I want to start off with is, as a CEO and working with your clients in the industry, you know, what are some of the new the pressures and the demands and the expectations that are on executives, on leaders that you're seeing today? What's out there? What are people feeling today?
Well, I think employees and consultants, whoever's working on your team, have a lot more choices today in this open world that we live in. There's a lot more pressure on executives to be able to accommodate everyone's individual needs, which is a lot different than having standardized process and standardized methods that are meant to serve everybody. And there's nothing like a pandemic to put additional pressure on executives. I know I hate to even say it, but it is additional pressure on executives to be able to accommodate everybody's personal and professional needs. At work, but also how their personal life interplays with that work role that you need them to fill. So I think that's probably one of the largest pressure points for executives right now in the current moment. The other piece is how to get the executives and leadership teams to work together across their different silos, because each one of the managers is feeling their own pressure for their own teams. And then they have pressure from the organization to achieve results. And they're getting sandwiched between multiple expectations of pressure. So how do we support our mid-level managers and our team leaders so that they can help the individuals in the organization succeed and achieve their objectives for the organization? And as executives, that really has to be our mission.
Yeah. So I'm hearing a couple things in there. One, you know, and with the crisis that everyone's going through, we're seeing a ton of, I mean, one sense, by everybody going home and working remotely and people taking phone calls at home, we've seen a real humanization of executives, right? And executives really kind of seeing and humanizing the people on their team and realizing, hey, you know, these people have families, they have pets, they have, you know, there's stuff going on. And so there's been, in that context, what we've seen now is this shift in, okay, it's not just come do your job, but it's, hey, I need to do my job and I need this personal thing too. And what I'm hearing you say is that an executive is now being stretched to accommodate the business goal and the personal goals of the people on their team. And it's becoming a bit of a, I don't know, I want to call it a burden, but a high expectation that's really stretching them.
Absolutely. It's also very challenging. It's a lot easier to set up a standard and say, this is what applies to everybody. Everybody gets this workstation. Everybody gets this expense reimbursement. Everybody gets this cubicle. It's a lot harder to say, you know, these people don't have sufficient internet access at home. How do you accommodate their ability to work? And these people have small children and pets at home. How do you accommodate their ability to work? Whereas this group wants to go to the office. How do you make the office safe for them to go there? And it starts to really become challenging to meet HR expectations that have been set historically, you know, about is everyone treated equally? Well, today, treating people equally doesn't serve the needs of the human individual and their ability to get work done. So we're in this quandary of how do you comply with legal types of regulations for consistency across the board, and how do you accommodate the different needs of the individuals?
Yeah, a huge HR problem there. So this actually reminds me, we did a study here in Northern Virginia last year, and we got an opportunity to speak to some fairly large healthcare systems and to basically try to understand what's going on and how the pandemic has impacted them and their workforce. And one of the things that they did not realize and they did not know is when they wanted to send everyone home to work remotely, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of healthcare has to be hands-on, but a lot of administrative could be done remotely. And what they discovered is a lot of the folks that came into their offices, their home spaces didn't have access to broadband. And so they could not help them to work remotely simply because they didn't have the infrastructure. And so I'm imagining that some of the challenges. So that's one. Really being stressed to cater to the individual needs of the people on your team, clear, very, very clearly. And then you mentioned a second thing, which is communicating across the departments and the divisions and kind of breaking these silos down now that everybody's out of the office. And so I'd love to hear, Tara, have you guys figured anything out? Do you guys have any pixie dust you can share with our listeners on how you guys have overcome or met these challenges?
Absolutely. We have modified several of our programs and solutions that we do offer to clients in order to accommodate the new world order. We used to do process and data to give executives accountability and profitability opportunities. And we would map how all the organization is working together from a process standpoint, where all the data from all the different departments lives, and how can you pull all of that data into a centralized location so that you as an executive or as a manager can see how all the different parts are working together. So historically, we used to have meetings in a conference room and everyone would come with the reports from their departments. And we as executives would have to figure out, how do these things link up? It seems like every department has a good report except for finance. How do we figure out which one of these reports is, you know, contributing to the reason why the finance report is less positive? Now, with data, and especially with virtual workforce, it's important that we update all of our technology and systems to have the process that connects all the different departments within the organization and all of the data aggregated together so everybody has the same information. Because when people have different information, they make different decisions. If we all are operating off the same data set, then we can make the decisions that drive the results and the outcomes that the executives are looking for. So it's not only about linking together through process all the different systems, tools, and technologies that the different departments are using, but then being able to distribute the right amount of information all the way to the lowest levels of the organization where people are working on a manufacturing line or sending an email campaign or making a social media post or working the reception desk. They each need different data about their role. And then their managers need data, aggregating multiple individuals together. But then all of that data has to get aggregated for the executive tier. And that's really been the primary change that we've seen evolve over the past few years. It was already starting, but then with the pandemic and everybody being remote, I don't know what everybody is doing. So if we link these systems and process together and all of the data's in one place, we're no longer sitting in the conference room together. We can jump on Zoom. We can log into that shared KPI dashboard and everybody can see how their work is impacting the company as a whole, which is good for morale. It's also making it a lot easier for us to do things like employee reviews. How is the work going? You've seen the data the whole time. We're seeing the same data. But then the last advantage is it allows us to make decisions really quickly. You know, before we'd have to wait for a month or a quarter to get information to make a decision. And by that time, we've been heading down the wrong path for 90 days. If we change that and can make decisions every week or every 2 weeks, because we can see that what we're doing is not working, we can make faster decisions, which is really important right now where the world around us is changing so quickly. You know, can we get those parts? No.
That's exactly right.
Make a faster decision.
No, that's exactly right. And so the whole purpose of our conversation is around adaptability, being adaptive and agile. And so I'd love to ask you this question, Tara. So as you think of yourself and the executives that you work with, whether they're clients or folks in your team, what are some of the maybe one or two, maybe three mindset qualities that have really helped certain people become more adaptive and more resilient in the midst of these extra expectations?
I think one is empathy, understanding how their role impacts other people, but also understanding the needs of other people. That definitely helps when people are myopically focused on what they do and that one job. They don't understand how the ripple effect happens with their peers. That's really important when I'm looking for executives or team leaders. The other piece is really being able to look at process and data because the people are trying to execute that process. If you have a bad process and everyone is doing their own thing, A, you don't have any way of measuring what's working and what's not because all of that information comes together. It's difficult to manage. But the other piece is it's hard to onboard and train new people. Because each person is just going to end up making up their own way of doing it. So I really need people in management positions who are able to look at the process and see whether or not it's consistent and listen to their team members. The people who are executing the process know what's working and what's not. Let them help you make it better. You're not the expert. You're not actually doing the work. Your job is to help them do their work better. So I'm trying to find executives who have those two qualities to be able to support their team.
Fantastic. That's excellent insight. I want to shift. So we've talked about executives, folks in leadership, and I want to now shift over to organizations. But similar questions. What have been the new burdens and expectations on organizations as a whole? And, you know, how have you seen them adapt to this new market and all the strains and constraints that we've been feeling during this crisis?
Yes. Well, the organizations that I see succeeding right now are the ones who have been flexible, have been agile, have shifted with the times. And a lot of that is an aspect of social listening. They're listening to their customers, they're listening to their employees, they're listening to the marketplace, they're observing how competition is evolving, and they're consistently positioning for the win-win-win of all of the stakeholders. Those companies are succeeding. And that's a lot of people to listen to. You know, organizations used to just listen to their customer and just serve their customer. Well, now in the business-to-business space that we primarily serve, there's 7 to 12 decision makers on every decision. So you are listening to 7 to 12 different perspectives for why they need solutions or how they're going to solve problems. And your organization has to be able to address the needs of all 7 to 12 stakeholders, not one decision maker. So from an executive standpoint, that is our evolution, that we are no longer making decisions in a bubble as the only decision maker. We are listening to the other people within our organization. But from a company perspective, that gives you a lot more people to listen to because you're listening to all your employees, all of your vendors and suppliers, as well as your customers now involving 7 to 12 decision makers. In every decision they make about the work they do with your company.
That's a lot of different people to try to please, right? Because you have difference of opinion, you have difference of perspective. And to your earlier point, not everybody's working from the same data set. And so if you don't have the same information, or if you're not agreeing on, hey, this is the priority, then you're going to have very divergent views and very divergent expectations. And that can be a huge challenge. And so how have you seen people address this?
I think people are trying to still broadcast education to the masses, and that's not working. But we can see from the data that if you take an education that you're trying to deliver and you focus it very narrowly on an audience like a single individual, companies are needing to switch the way they do education from this mass blast to hyper-focused, hyper-targeted types of education delivery, more frequency, more targeted, more data-driven, so they get the right messages to the right people. And this is important for two things. One, we have so many people to serve, and everybody still wants to be served from the perspective of you're talking to me as an individual, whether that's information in your company or information going outside your company. I want to feel like it's for me. But the other piece is the entire world is flooded with education. From your competitors, from the market, from the scientists, from the journalists, from everybody. So trying to help your audience weed through the education you're trying to deliver requires very precision targeting. And it's putting a huge emphasis on digital transformation and setting up these digital systems. And older companies are having to play catch up, and they are at a competitive disadvantage to new companies that are able to launch and have all the systems and data organized from the start to be able to deliver this precision type of education.
Yes, I see exactly what you're talking about. As individuals, we want to know that we're being catered to our needs, and you know, but the constraint of a business is to create something, is design something that you can reproduce through a system, right? And have it meet a certain quality, a certain consistency. And yet people want something that is catered specifically to them. So there's a bit of a competing value there. So Tara, I wanted to ask you, have you come across any organizational hacks? Some systems or methodologies that you have found to help organizations, adapt to the changing times?
Yes, I think a biggest opportunity that we have discovered is really in the area of how we communicate with our internal customers and really thinking about the employees and the teams that are working for our company as those internal customers and marketing and educating and communicating with them in the way you would an external customer. What do they need to know? How are you serving them? Are you delivering value as an employer to them the same way that you're asking them to deliver value to your customers? And so some of the hacks that we've developed in this area are, one, setting up our CRM systems to manage internal communications, automated sequences, automated education delivery to employees. That way we can really target people in different departments, getting educated across departments about their impact to their neighboring teams, but we're able to give them just the information that they need. These are the systems you need to use. This is how your work impacts the neighboring department. It creates a whole separate set of content that has to be developed and distributed, but using those systems that you've used historically to talk to your external customers and deploying those internally helps your team, virtual or in person, do their jobs better. So that's been really important. The other piece is taking recruiting and really treating it more like customer acquisition. Because as an executive and as an organization, we are trying to find top talent, and the top talent either wants a special type of work environment that meets their needs, or they want a type of company that creates a different value proposition for them, or they're not even looking. The best employees aren't even looking. So how do you introduce them to what you have to offer as an employee and compete for top talent? And in today's market, every single one of our clients and even us, that's probably one of the more challenging areas of evolution, is trying to get top talent. And all of the old recruiting methods, job postings, job boards, they don't work. That's not what people are looking for today when they're looking for a company to work with, to deliver value with.
Absolutely. And we see the same thing. One of the things we get talk about a lot is engagement. How do we engagement and retention? So we've got a great team. How can we keep them? Because the longer we can keep them in our organization, adding value, the more valuable they become, you know, because you get, you begin to master certain things and over time, and then, you know, your value goes up. And so one of the organizations we just did some work with, very community driven, but the idea of finding new talent. And I think what this pandemic has done is it's really kind of scrambled the eggs, because it's shown people that they can now work through different channels. And so if you have a good office setup, I mean, this fall, I think, is going to drive a lot of it, because lots of kids are going back to school. And so workers, employees, managers, leaders, they're at home and it's quiet. And now it's like, I don't have to drive in. I could just work from my office. And if that's really what they want, they're going to go out in the market and they're going to look for jobs that are going to be able to allow them to do that. Well, other people, they want to be in the office. And there's, you know, it's not right or wrong. It's kind of like the sorting process. Some folks that want to be in the office and be hands-on with their team are going to look for those opportunities. While folks that want to be home and work remotely, they're going to look for those opportunities. And so as a business, how are you setting up your recruitment, like you talked about, so that you can communicate what you have to offer and attract the people that are going to fit in it? I think that's fantastic.
Well, the pandemic has really removed geographic barriers. We've all learned how to work virtual. So now I no longer am limited to a talent pool that is in the geography of my office. I can get top talent anywhere, right?
Yes.
That's really important. However, one of the things that we do at Atomic Revenue is recreate the office environment in a virtual space. So we set up Slack channels with even water cooler style channels. You know, those conversations you'd have in passing about nothing important, but allowing the team to still communicate very tightly with each other about personal things going on, or, you know, just the things that you would share at the water cooler. This happened today. Send a picture. And I think that's really important for maintaining the camaraderie in a virtual environment. And then the other piece that we're looking at, because we have 47 team members nationwide, some communities, we only have two or three people in an area, and some only one. But if those people want to go work at an office and get out of their house because that supports their productivity, we as an employer need to provide some type of a co-working space or a place that they can go to for a sense of work community, even if it's not their peers and coworkers at the same company. So we are currently in the process of looking at co-working spaces in 4 other US cities because we've always been virtual first and virtual optional. So even when we have in-person meetings, it's always been hybrid to accommodate people who can't commute that day, have kids that are homesick, aren't local. So now we're just trying to give a lot more of our remote team members an in-person opportunity. It'll help their productivity, but also it gives them that sense of community that being in person offers, so that as we continue to recruit top talent that might not be in the vicinity of our other team members, we can still create a work community for them, both virtually and in person.
That's fantastic. And I've worked with some fully distributed companies that don't necessarily offer the in-office or the remote office option. So I think that's fantastic. I want to bring up something that you mentioned before we got started, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about it before we round out our call. You mentioned something called distributed accountability. Could you unpack that for our listeners?
Sure. This is really at the heart of process and data that serves people. And historically, there has been this accountability string within organizations that matches the silos of companies. It's a top to bottom accountability. The people at the bottom are accountability for producing results to their manager, who are responsible and accountable to results for the next tier of manager. And it goes right up the food chain. However, distributed accountability is a model that allows process and data to connect people with their peers next to them and understand that when I do my job well, the next person in the neighboring silo is able to do their job well and get better results. And they can provide me with feedback about how my work is helping or hurting their ability to succeed. And the same way, that person then does the same with the next silo. So it's easiest to think about in marketing, sales, and service, where marketing is trying to produce good leads. They're not accountable to the marketing manager in distributed accountability for doing a good job. They are accountable to the sales organization, their peers in the sales department. And if the sales department feels like they can give the marketing team feedback and say, these leads work, these ones don't, marketing can adjust what they're doing and serve that sales organization better in a peer-to-peer structure, not a top-down structure. And that if sales is selling the right solutions with the right timelines and the right expectations set with the customers, then the operations team can deliver. They can deliver on that promise that's been made by the sales organization to the customer. You have satisfied customers, and that operations department is working directly with the sales team, not through the managers of both departments, but they're working together to make sure that the operations team has everything they need from the sales department. All the proper expectations have been set with the customer so that they can succeed in delivering what the customer bought. And it continues down the line as you build value with customers. So trying to flatten organizations a little bit, you still want those managers who are team leads, who are integrating process with each other, but you want the people at a peer-to-peer level to know the impact of their work and who it impacts. So through distributed accountability, everyone understands their role in a process. They understand the measurable results that their role is striving to achieve on behalf of their peers and the organization. And because they're accountable to their peers, there's a lot more receptiveness to peer feedback than manager feedback. It just doesn't feel the same. So to open our organizations to allow that peer-to-peer relationship across departments, in my opinion, makes it easier for us as managers and executives to accomplish our business goals, because they're helping coach each other.
I love it. I love it. I've not heard the term distributed accountability before, but I may use it if that's okay with you. We talk about unsolicited feedback, you know, so we encourage peers and managers and to honor with unsolicited feedback. So go to your peer, go to the coworker, go to that other division and say, you know, this work output, it was good for this sense, but it needs more attention over here. And essentially you're just creating that feedback loop so that people can make the right adjustments. And sometimes you just don't have to, you don't have to wait for permission. But distributed accountability, I love that concept. And really, really thank you for sharing that. Tara, as we round out our show today, again, thank you so much for joining us. I'd love to get a statement or two about Atomic Revenue. And if you would share with our listeners how they could contact you or contact Atomic Revenue.
Sure. So Atomic Revenue is accessible online, atomicrevenue.com. The best way to reach out to me is through LinkedIn. That is my current Rolodex and how I keep track of all the folks that I get to meet. But we do share a lot of education and information about the things we've talked about through our LinkedIn profiles. So it's just Tara J. Kinney. You'll see me because I'm with Atomic Revenue. And the way that Atomic Revenue really works is similar to a doctor's office, but for revenue and profitability. So people tend to be focused on symptoms of problems. And so when they come to Atomic Revenue, we do diagnostics types of projects that allow companies to take what they learn from us and implement it themselves, put it out to bid in an RFP, or have Atomic Revenue help them resolve the challenges that are identified. And we work with them to optimize their organizations through process and data. So if we can get the right process in place that your people will actually execute, that produces the right data, then you can measure how things are going in your organization. And you really have that insight to make profitable, agile decisions that the whole team can work together to impact. So that's really Atomic Revenue's mission and goal, is align everyone to the outcomes and objectives of the organization, but empower them to make decisions and have behaviors every day that have that positive impact.
Awesome. Excellent. Tara, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, Greg. This was fun.
Thank you for joining us on the Adaptive Executive Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow us on LinkedIn and by subscribing to our mailing list. Again, my name is Greg Ballard, and thank you for listening.